you can host the best backyard barbecue. You can find a professional on Angi to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angi app or visit Angi.com today. You can do this when you Angi that.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife. And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you're on YouTube, that little notify bell next to it to make sure you're always alerted as to when new Going In Raw content is going up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a bevy of reward tiers, including the $5 best value tier. $5 a month gets you three, all of our recap shows for the weekly programming. You get to watch those live, interact with us. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's all good stuff. We're also on prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. The sale is over. The summer sale is over. However, that's not going to stop us from adding new designs.
Yeah.
We have
up
one
now is this one. Fun Wrestling, the premier wrestling organization on YouTube.
Well, that would be the WWE.
Confirmed.
If you want to talk actual numbers and pro wrestling.
Quality of wrestling.
The new,
every match, minimum 4¾ stars.
The new
star.
Shower Me With Gold
when you
logo
agree.
Shirt is, wait, what?
Yes, just say yes.
Yes. All right. The new Shower Me With Gold logo shirt is going to be going up soon. Like, out of context, the idea of people are... That's why I really doubted that anybody really wanted a shithead anal
yeah,
I like to
no
shirt.
One wants that.
I don't want that on my shop. And B, nobody's going to wear that. Nobody's going to wear that. Because out of context, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Nobody's going to wear that.
No.
Anyway, unless you really, really like anal... You know, then if you want to declare, if you want to wear that on your shirt, then I guess. But, man, I'm not sure what the overlap is between fans of ours, our friendos, and people who are so into anal that they want to wear it on a bright red shirt. Maybe there is. I don't know. We're missing our cards fell off.
Oh, I know.
So I feel bad about that. No, nothing's wrong. They just fell off. Weak tape.
We'll have to get new cards.
I know. That's what I'm excited about. We're going to get some new Steiner Brother cards.
Or maybe they won't be Steiner Brother cards. Maybe I will do something different. Something else.
Maybe. Anyways, let's talk about... So, there's a lot to talk about. There's like... So, Great Balls of Fire happened.
Yeah.
We did a live stream last night. I'm just going to say this really quick. A lot of people bitched about us and our level of attention to the actual pay-per-view and the level to which we marked out over spots. I'm going to get... Here's the thing. So, in order to avoid copyright strikes... we have to keep the volume down.
Yes.
However, there is this thing called earbuds. I am going to go out and purchase a very long audio cable, and I have a splitter, and we can bring our earbuds, and we can listen to the show.
All right.
We're going to improve our live stream.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, there's, you know, yeah.
I went back and rewatched a bunch of stuff today.
Yeah, I watched, especially promo stuff. I watched that all today.
Yeah.
Or most of it. The thing is, you know, we want to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
We want to... interact with those watching with us, and then me personally, plus I'm taking notes throughout.
Yeah,
there's a lot to juggle. We could do better, but...
there's a balance.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a lot to juggle. There's a balance between engaging in the community and absorbing the show. Just because what you see on the live stream, though, isn't necessarily going to be reflected here on the show, because we do, you know, there's a good 12 hours that we can then go back and watch...
Yeah, and then
think
things over.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so... So, you know, it's meant to be like sort of a hangout experience. I largely had a negative view on the show the next morning. I still kind of have a negative view on the show. I have a very specific reason or reasons for that. I thought there were some positive takeaways. There's also just been some sort of general pro wrestling news that's been going down lately. So I don't know. How do you want to handle this? Do you want to do like an extra show today? We have a little bit of extra time, maybe.
I don't really think we have any extra time today because we have to do this. We have to do fun wrestling and we have to do...
Oh, we're doing fun wrestling. I thought you were doing a super show. I thought you were doing a live stream show.
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a promo in there that has to go in today. Absolutely has to go in.
All right. No time then. Okay.
So we don't really have time for that. But we discussed, I assume you mean AJ winning the U.S. title. And Austin Aries getting released by WWE.
So let's just run this down really, really quickly. Yeah. Austin Aries was released by the WWE over this past weekend. I think our general consensus is, as fans of the WWE product and fans of Austin Aries, this is a bummer for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, this is a good thing for him. I mean, there's been kind of like rumors about like, and you know, we don't like about maybe him having a bad attitude backstage. We have no idea if that's true or not. There's some sources saying that.
There was also reports right afterwards that he asked for his release, and then on Cage Side Seats today, they said that wasn't true. He didn't ask for his release, but he was, I don't remember the exact wording they used, but more or less fine with it.
Oh, yeah.
So
I said, we don't want you, and you don't want us.
Yeah, so I mean, it seems like he, you know, based on what I've read, he left or wanted to leave because he didn't just want to be on 205 Live. He wanted to be on the main roster. One thing I think in Cage Side Seats again today said that he was upset that his match at WrestleMania was on the pre-show. Mm-hmm. So that means his payout was less because his match wouldn't be on the DVD.
Mm.
Things like that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Who knows if any of that's true?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everybody in their hearts have, you know, the wants and needs. And if some people are, you know, like a guy like Neville, that dude's on the pre-show always, but he's putting on some of the best matches. He's doing, you know, top three promo work in the company.
Mm-hmm.
He's champion. They're using him, you know, as the foundation for 205 Live. He's got to be happy with that. I would think that he's happy with that. Austin Aries, obviously he wanted something different, something more. You know, hopefully he'll find what he's looking for.
Yes.
And then also Dixie Carter. Dixie Carter was on the Kurt, is apparently going to be your interview on the Kurt Angle 24.
Which is on tonight.
So I was listening to Wrestling Observer Radio this morning. They were running down the show from last night. And I think Brian Alvarez, I think, is the co-host with Meltzer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, dude, what if Stephanie McMahon calls in tonight and says, Kurt, you've lost control. Dixie Carter's in charge now. And I was like, oh, no. And even Dave Meltzer was like, oh, yeah, no. Oh, who knows? Might see Dixie Carter on Raw.
That would be something
else. That would be definitely something else. The thing is, I'm not sure, like, the general fan base knows about her. Like, I don't know if that, you know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm not sure that'd be a great idea.
Oh, I don't think it's happening. I would be shocked. I was shocked that they actually interviewed her for anything on the WWE Network.
Yeah, me too.
Much hey, less have her on, but as,
dude,
on
if,
camera.
But, dude, if they want like a variation on the Vicky Guerrero, John Laurinaitis type heel authority figure that's kind of outside the box, that would kind of work. A lot of those wrestlers have history with her.
Yeah.
I have no idea if they'd go down that route, though. I have no idea. I mean, she's got plenty of money. I don't think it'd be a matter of her needing the money.
No,
or
it's
wanting that.
A matter if she wanted to be involved in the industry.
Want to be in the spotlight, kind of. Yeah. You know, hey, would this be fun?
Last little bit of news. AJ Styles, your new U.S. champion. He wanted a house show at Madison Square Garden, I believe, on Saturday?
It was on Saturday, Madison Square Garden.
Defeated Kevin Owens.
Yeah. No real news on in terms of, like, what, you know, is... So, according to some people, Kevin Owens has been competing, like, post
on
house
shows
the last
no
few days.
There's no report to him being injured or anything like that.
Right. So, yeah, what do you think about that? I
don't know. I mean, I just assumed they thought they would do it just to advance storyline, but then their match at Battleground apparently was pulled from WWE.com. So,
I don't know. I mean,
it's confusing.
I like, I'll be honest, I like it. I like whenever something surprising happens that breaks on Twitter or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of the title change happening at a house show, I think it's great.
Yeah,
that
I like
stuff should happen a lot more
the
often.
Video of it is hilarious, too. Like, I saw, like, a fan video of it. And the crowd cheers very hesitantly at first, And by the time they realize that, yes, this happened, it's kind of too late to be surprise pop because nobody really thinks that this is happening.
Yeah, the house show, yeah.
The ref is going to, like, reverse it or whatever. And so the pop is surprisingly muted. I mean, they popped, but it's just not obviously like, oh, my God, this is happening in front of us. It's like, no, this is going to be changed. Oh, it's not going to be changed? Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I got from it. Maybe if somebody was in attendance.
That's why I like it because, you expect things to happen on the house show. Yeah, you expect, wrestlers to have more fun.
Yeah.
Maybe work out of character sometimes, but you don't expect something like this to happen.
Right,
and
right.
When it does, and granted, it's at Madison Square Garden, that's a special circumstance because it's such an important arena in WWE history.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of like when Samoa Joe beat Finn Balor for the NXT title at a live event.
Yeah.
It makes live events feel more important.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Potentially can happen.
Yeah, and, the word spreads and people might be more apt to go to their live shows.
Yes.
So I love it. I think it's great. And on top of that, it gets us more hyped for SmackDown on Tuesday.
Yeah.
To take a look and say, how are they going to address this? You know, what's the resolution going to be for this? So all interesting stuff. There's one little last bit of news I was just breaking this morning from PW Insider. Apparently, Alberto El Patron, he was detained at the Orlando airport for a possible domestic violence battery situation. So PW Insider reached out to the Orlando Police Department and got this official response. Quote, there is an incident at Orlando International Airport at about 3 p.m. Sunday involving Jose Rodriguez. The reported incident was a domestic violence battery, and it is still under investigation. No arrests have been made as of this time, but the case remains open. That is all the information we have for release at this time. There was a rumor that he was there according to TMZ Sports, a witness said there was an altercation. Alberto allegedly roughed up a female companion. Of course, there has been no confirmation that it was in fact Paige. They are still together as a couple. Global Force Wrestling released an official statement on Monday that says Global Force Wrestling takes all legal situations very seriously and is looking into this matter. GFW is a privately held company and will thoroughly investigate this incident and fully cooperate with law enforcement. So details still pending in terms of Alberto Del Rio's airport adventures. Bummer if it's true, but we'll withhold reserve our judgment until we know the facts.
Facts, yes.
So let's talk about Great Balls of Fire, Larson.
Yeah.
So here was my general take on the show. There was a lot of surprisingly good wrestling.
Yeah.
Happening. So much of that was marred for me by crap finishes.
Yeah, there's a few matches that had really dumb finishes.
It was, with the exception of the impromptu Heath Slater match where he went over because he's the face, it was all kind of, it was all victories for heels for the most part. So you're going to get, they don't like having their heels go over clean. Although in the case of Neville, I would like to see him be evenly matched at least with Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that. We got a lot. To me, a lot of these finishes felt like Raw TV finishes. That's my problem with it.
That's the problem with having so many pay-per-views is especially when they want to have story resolution happen at one of the major four.
Mm-hmm.
Then all these kind of B-level shows, are used to advance stories, not conclude them.
Yeah, and then there was I thought the Roman Braun thing. In retrospect, looking back on it, I thought it was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a sec, but I was explaining it to somebody on Twitter last night because they were coming after me saying you're on your computer the whole time. What do you know? And I understood what happened in all the matches for the most part. There was a lot of good wrestling. I witnessed a lot of good wrestling, and I witnessed a bunch of crap endings. And when you have a crap ending to match A, then match B, then match C, for me personally, it took the air out of the pay per view for me. And so, it's like watching, this is sort of the example, this is a messy allegory, but your take on, and this is because I'm a huge fan of the movie There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Your take on it traditionally has been, whenever we talk about it, you always give me the caveat, it was good, but the ending didn't sit right with you. You weren't a huge
fan.
Well,
not the final scene, but the scene when he's in his, specifically the scene when he's in his office and his son, who's now grown up, comes in, the whole bastard in a basket.
Yeah.
Because the movie up to that point is a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I get it. You know what? I've always equated this. We're going to talk about movies on a wrestling podcast again. Equated the structure of the movie to an oil.
Yeah.
What do they call those things?
An oil rig.
Yeah.
An oil. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So it builds and builds and builds and finally explodes. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Structurally, totally get it.
Yeah.
I think it's two things. One, structurally, I understand, doesn't necessarily like it. Two, it moves forward in time about 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
years.
Yeah.
So we never really see how their relationship, Daniel Plainview and his son's relationship, breaks down.
Yeah.
We don't see that.
Yeah.
We just see the end result of it.
Right.
So it seems abrupt.
Yeah.
It seems out of nowhere.
Right. Without getting, I mean, we can get into the minutia.
But the scene after that with Paul Dano, the milkshake scene, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, I love the movie through and through. I'm fine with everything that you have qualms with. But whenever we talk about that movie, I get the feeling that aspect of it kind of sucked the air out of the movie for you as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big caveat for you.
Yeah.
And it's totally an understandable one. I didn't share the same emotional feeling as it pertains to that as you did, but I totally get what you're getting at. That, what you're describing with that movie, is kind of how I felt about this pay-per-view. Except it was on a match-by-match case basis with these wonky finishes that it sucked the air out of the pay-per-view.
I'll tell you the moment that really happened is when Alexa Bliss lost by count out to retain her title.
Why? Why? And here's the thing. I was thinking about this morning. I was looking at my fridge for stuff. I was thinking to myself, you know, given that the Usos just did this last month, where they walked out on a match, and then Alexa Bliss walks out on a match, maybe, just maybe, if they use this as a catalyst for Vince to come out, or all of a sudden WWE.com has a breaking story where WWE is their board of directors are discussing changes to the WWE rules. In that, count out victories or when a participant walks out on a match for the and it's obvious to the ref that they're walking out, so they don't have to lose their title. They lose their title. Like, if this was building to something to write off these ridiculous rules in terms of heels being able to cheat in the most boring way, but that's the thing. It's supposed to be entertaining, and this was just boring. I didn't feel any more heel heat for Alexa Bliss. I didn't feel any more heel heat for the Usos. It was just, oh, well, that's a boring way to win, isn't it?
Well, I think the finish to the Alexa match was compounded by the Usos match, because during the Usos match, I didn't necessarily mind it because it's something we hadn't seen in a while. But then just to see it again 2 weeks after the fact, it's dull. It's not an interesting way to end the match. I thought Nia Jax was going to interfere and help, whether wittingly or not, Alexa keep the belt.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been a far more interesting scenario because it would have advanced the story.
And on top of that, we're probably going to get that tonight on Raw. On top of that, it shines a giant spotlight on the illogical nature of a lot of professional wrestling. I'm going to say a lot of it. There are certain aspects in professional wrestling that are just simply lacking in logic. And by and large, we buy into it because we understand that it's scripted storytelling. But when there is a plot hole that size, you can walk out. You're the champion.
Well, that's what's known as the champion's advantage.
That it's stupid. I mean, that's fine, but that's silly. I mean, I don't know how they can, in this day and age, they can. Slammiversary. People are knocking Slammiversary. I still haven't watched the whole thing. But people are knocking Slammiversary because of a bunch of wonky finishes. We just got done with the G1 special in USA. How many walkout counts? It was all clean finishes.
Yeah, I know.
You know? And they protect people to the degree that anybody... Naito lost.
In the first round.
In the first round because of his arrogance, because of a character flaw.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that is fine. That's great. But shit, even Sasha looked bored from that finish. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then she gets up there, and I thought they did a cool spot that was a bit on the botch side because Sasha ended up landing on Alexa Bliss's nose and it busting open. Well, let's start at the beginning.
Well, her mouth, wasn't it? Did she bust her lip open? I think she busted her lip open.
It busted her open in any event. Anyways, let's start at the beginning. We had Neville versus Tozawa. The pre-show match just had some really, really good wrestling to it. This is what we'd figure we'd get from these guys. I think it's funny, man. The blow-offs on 205 Live are usually infinitely better than their actual pay-per-view matches.
Oh, I know.
You know? Like, how many times have we sat there on our 205 Live recap and been like, holy crap, that was a hell of a match.
I know. And this was a good match. We both thought that Neville was going to cheat or at least bend the rules a bit to retain. That's more or less what happened.
Yeah.
But Tozawa hit his finisher. He hit the top rope senton. Mm-hmm. Neville just found he was too close to the ropes and rolled out of the ring.
I like when they do that. That's always a clever. Yeah. I like when they do. It's a clever way to get out of that.
But the finish saw Tozawa get hung up on the top rope, got crotched by it.
Yeah.
And then while he was there, the ref was looking at Tozawa.
Yeah.
Neville kicked the rope.
Yeah.
Further inflicting more damage on Tozawa's groin.
Yeah.
And then Neville gets him off, does like a spinning kick again below the belt. It looked like.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was meant to be.
It was meant to be questionable.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I got from it. So mission accomplished. So at this match, I was like, okay, well, that was underwhelming, but you know,
but we
Neville,
expected that.
We expected
a match not to really bring any sort of finality to the story, but to essentially it's a means to have another match at the next show.
Right, exactly. In this case, Akira Tozawa now has gotten a taste of what it's like to be fighting Neville. He's going to play dirty. Okay,
yeah.
So that's great. Next up, we had Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins. These guys can put on a good match in their sleep. I thought that the wrestling in this was decent, again, until the finish, which saw Bray Wyatt poke Seth Rollins in the eye, which led to his sister Abigail.
Directly to his sister Abigail.
Which led right into his sister Abigail. I like that they booked his sister Abigail strong. I like that Bray Wyatt got a win. It was so anticlimactic. I think that was my problem. When this happened, it was like, okay, well, there's two sort of cheating anticlimactic victories for the bad guys. This is starting not to bode well.
Yeah.
Because I thought that especially these two guys, storytelling-wise, could have put on a match that maybe would have built more. If Bray was on the precipice of losing a bit more, you know, then I thought that out of desperation hitting the eye poke.
I think that's what it was supposed to be, though.
You thought what?
Well, that it was a move of desperation from Bray, but he really wasn't in dire straits at all.
It didn't. No, exactly. I think, no, ideally, that's what it should have been. That's what it's supposed to have been. He didn't look like it. It looked like the most nonchalant eye poke.
Yeah, it really was.
Like, the ref was kind of like, he was getting in the ring or whatever.
And he was trying to get Seth back off the ropes.
Yeah, Bray yeah,
was
yeah.
Outside
yeah,
the ring.
He was outside of the ring.
Bray
yeah.
just kind of did a no-look poke in the eye.
Mm-hmm. And it was ho-hum. It was like, okay, well, if it's a move out of desperation.
Well, the problem is that there's no, we said this before, there's really nothing these guys are fighting over.
Yeah.
And so they can't interweave motivation into the
what
story of the
Bray
match.
What is Bray proving by doing this? You know what I mean?
Someone put on Twitter, and I can't credit it because I forget who put it, but essentially someone said, or maybe the comment in our
video
that Bray, who says he's a god, needs to poke his opponent's eye to win.
Exactly. Like, what does he prove? What is he proving by doing that? I mean,
he's willing to cut corners. That's it.
A minor humiliation for Seth Rollins. You know,
not even that.
Like, I don't. It's so silly. It's such a cheap way to win.
Like if Bray
I'm
says
a god,
if
man.
Bray, how about this? Bray says A, he's everywhere and he's a god. Do a stunt where, you know, he's in a bad way, lights go out, lights come back up.
Yeah.
He's somewhere else in the ring.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Same thing happens. He's somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like over the barricade or he's sitting at commentary or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Then we'd shit on that, too.
But at least it's creative and different and plays into what Bray's trying to say.
I know. I'm a god, man. Poke.
I know.
Thumb to the eye, man.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so again, I mean, our prediction episode got this kind of right, underwhelming. Like, the wrestling...
The match itself wasn't bad. Just the finish was underwhelming, but that's not necessarily the wrestler's blame.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, look, man, the vast majority of this isn't the wrestler's fault. Next up, we had a Hardy Boys interview. And Jeff Hardy said something about his tooth.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to get his
Did tooth you go back and rewatch this?
I did not, no.
No, I forgot to watch it, too.
I remember Chat was telling us that Matt was sounding kind of broken-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was acting pretty broken during that Iron Man match.
Yeah, especially that whole stretch where he was getting beat up.
Mm-hmm.
After this, Enzo came out before his match with Cass and cut a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Started talking about Frank Sinatra's That's Life.
Yeah.
And how it related to his current storyline.
Well, he has a mugshot of Frank Sinatra tattooed
on his shoulder. Yeah.
On his shoulder, that's right. I did like the bit where he said, you're going to be in my shadow now, Cass.
Because I'm going to be larger than life.
I'm going to be larger than life. Yeah, that was a good line.
There's a couple good lines in it.
I know. Did you go back and listen to Cass's new music?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty generic.
Yeah, it is generic. It's not terrible.
It's not good. It's not memorable.
Literally the definition of generic.
Exactly, yeah. It's it's like when you go to the store and they've got Rice Krispies or you got a crispy rice treats or whatever it is. Crispy
it's
rice.
In theory the same thing.
Right.
Yet not.
Or even better, just like the white box with cereal on it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I know I'm getting something for the morning. I don't think they've done that since like the 50s, though.
Mm-mm.
I think even generic sometimes try to...
They have some logo on there that entices the eyes.
Exactly.
Otherwise, they might just put Brand X cereal on it.
Brand X. Anyways, then Enzo, after a pretty good promo, just got murdered.
Yeah,
got
he had maybe combined, I don't know, 40 seconds worth
he
of offense.
He was selling the crap out of his best friend.
So we got this prediction right. Cass dominated the entire match, more or
less. Yeah, no, he murdered him.
And Cass ended up winning with a boot to the face.
Yeah, but it was just ragdolling Enzo the entire
more
time.
More or less.
And you could even kind of tell that Cass was like... not entirely comfortable. Like Brock Lesnar ragdolls you. Brock is enjoying ragdolling.
Yeah. He has no
Cass
qualms.
Didn't enjoy it.
Brock has no qualms about doing it.
Yes, no issue with that.
No.
Next up, we had The Miz backstage.
This is pretty quick. Just him with The Miz, Taraj, and Maryse.
Yeah, I like The Miz, Taraj.
Yeah, I do too.
If only because I get fashion tips from Bo Dallas, because he looks great in his little like cool looking rock star guy.
Ride to hell. Retribution.
I want horny.
After that, Hardys versus Sheamus and Cesaro in a 30-minute Iron Man match. This is match of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely the match of the night. And it's funny because, so, like, we watched this, and I think a lot of the crowd and in our live stream chat was calling botch on the ref on a couple of these. But we went back and watched it. We still framed this shit. And I didn't see a lot of botching going on.
No, I didn't
saw
either.
Some misunderstandings happening.
I think the one botch was on when Matt hit the moonsault off the top rope.
Okay.
Pin on Sheamus, I believe. This is the one you're referring to. I rewatched a couple times. And Cesaro went in there to break up the pinfall, and a lot of people were saying, well, he didn't break it up in time. The ref actually counted three.
Right.
It's unclear because the ref gets in the position and his hand goes down. Whether that was actually the one count?
No. That was no.
Or
that's what the crowd thought. I watched that shit frame by frame, and it's clear when he goes down, his hand comes down, but it's sliding to brace him for him getting in the position, and then he goes up for the count. I can see totally how everybody thought that was a one, but when you go back and watch still frame, he was getting down into position. And I could see how that looked like a one, but it was clear he was simply getting into position. And then he hit two, and on the two, Cesaro broke it up. So that was just, I mean, as a ref, maybe he probably could have done it better. But so then I can see how people were upset about that.
And there's another spot where Jeff hits the Swanton on Sheamus, and then Cesaro runs in the ring and pins Jeff, gets the three count. And it looked to me like the Jeff lifted his shoulder up a couple times. Maybe it was unclear whether he was actually trying to kick out.
Yeah, that was unclear. It was sort of weird. We'll talk about that in a second. But the first pin, so this is the Iron Man match, 30 minutes. And, of course, an Iron Man match, whoever has the most pinfalls by the end of the time elapsing wins the match. The first one came really quick. It was a brogue kick 30 seconds in. Matt Hardy ate Sheamus's boot. So they went down 1-0 or 0-1 really quick.
Yep. Shortly at, or not too long after that, Sheamus and Cesaro hit their finisher, which Sheamus does the white noise, and then Cesaro jumps off the top rope to put a little more muscle behind it.
A little stank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that to Jeff Hardy. They're up 2-0.
Yeah. So.
And then about, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 minutes left in the match, Jeff hits Twist of Fate and Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
2-1.
Mm-hmm. You got
Sheamus
the
and Cesaro. And then, not long after that, Matt Hardy gets tagged back in, and he just gets beat up, it feels like, for a good 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So, we're obviously all on Broken Watch,
yeah,
2017. And just like in the Cade? No, it was one that the one we saw live.
Yeah, Payback.
Payback. We thought that he was getting beat up pretty good there. We thought maybe he would have been broke, but evidently, no, he did not secure the license.
The IP yet, no.
The IP yet.
And so, that segment culminated in Matt Hardy getting thrown into the ring post by Cesaro. Sheamus, the legal man for Sheamus and Cesaro, still in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Matt was counted out.
Yeah.
Sheamus and Cesaro are up 3-1 now.
Yeah.
Not long after that, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy do like this pinning combination thing that was interesting. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Pinning Cesaro.
Right.
3-2 is the count.
Is that when, is that the one they both came off the top? Was that
no,
that
no,
one?
No, no,
no, that was later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then after that, Matt hit a pretty cool looking top rope twist.
That was rad. Yeah, that was really cool.
On Sheamus.
Yeah.
Tied things up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned the when Jeff hit the Swanton on Sheamus and Cesaro ran into the ring, pinned Jeff,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff's shoulder kind of went up a couple times.
Yeah, that was weird. So, there are certain moves, like RVD, he always sold the hell out of his own frog splash,
mm-hmm.
the 5-star frog splash.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit the scent of the Swanton, are you supposed to be so damaged that somebody can score a 3 count on you?
Apparently, because that's what happened.
It looked like, kind of like what you were saying, it looked like Jeff, I'm not going to say it looked like he had a shoulder up necessarily in my eyes, but it looked like Cesaro's pin attempt was so strong that Jeff Hardy was trying to kick out of it, and Cesaro wasn't having any of it. That's what it looked like, because he was doing this, but Cesaro was just laying on him. Usually if somebody does this, oh my God, you just kicked out.
Yeah, I think Jeff was trying to show, hey, I'm struggling to get out of this pin attempt, but I can't. I think that's what it was.
When's the last time somebody struggled to get, like, usually you kick out. You don't struggle to get out of a pin attempt.
Well, like on a roll, no, on a roll up, I've seen people struggle to get out.
Yeah, yeah, on a roll up they do this stuff. But if a guy's just laying, that's different. That's when you have your weight on them like this.
Cesaro is also pound for pound the strongest wrestler in WWE.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay,
you got to remember these things. This is all little story elements you got to keep in mind, Steve. After that, that's when we got the double top rope move where Matt and Jeff Hardy both did a top rope.
Now we still frame this one. It simply looks like Matt punched himself in the face on accident.
Yeah.
Because man, he opened up. I think he had to get in like nine stitches.
Yeah. So he did like an elbow off one of the turnbuckles. Jeff did a splash off the other.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it looks like he.
It looked really cool, but it looked like it went like that.
Yeah.
And it just opened up. All of a sudden, it was just like
he was bleeding all over the place.
It was great. It was like Flair in '89.
But it worked well for the finish of the match too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the finish of the match, now that Sheamus and Cesaro are up 4-3, after that, Cesaro runs out of the ring. Jeff Hardy chases him down, gets back in the ring.
Seconds
yeah,
left.
Yeah, hits a twist of fate, goes for the pin with like 2 seconds
with
left.
2 seconds left.
And so time expires.
He hit it at like, I think, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And by the time the pin was firmly in place, there was like
a second left.
And I thought it was immaculately.
Oh yeah, it was really well done.
Well timed. Then I looked down at chat. This is one reason I just need to stop paying attention to people, is because people started screaming for like ref bots, and I was like, wait a second, what? There is no bot. I didn't see a bot. I just saw like a really well timed thing, and I started looking for it, and I was like, well, I thought that was cool. And then I went back and looked at this morning. I was like, oh wow, that was actually really well done.
Yeah.
So maybe the ref stuff wasn't as crisp or as clear, but that's like a tough task.
Oh yeah,
the referee of the 30-minute Ironman match,
know, especially for the last
where it goes up 4-3
few minutes when one of the competitors is bleeding all over the place.
Because the only thing I could have thought of that, okay, so maybe they would have wanted it to go 3-3, because then the champion still retain
on a tie, yeah,
and then you keep this thing going, which I kind of think they're probably gonna do. Like I don't,
I could be.
Do you think that this is? I mean, at 4-3. You'd think that this would be a blow-off, but I could see them continuing on.
Well, that'd be a SummerSlam, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do? All of a sudden, they're going to fight somebody else? No,
three stages of hell match.
Yeah, there you go. Do the triple-decker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. Which one was the three stages of hell?
Three different match stipulations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like best out of two or three falls, but three different match stipulations. Oh, I think one of them's Hell in a Cell. One of them's just like a no or falls count anywhere weapons match.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another one I don't remember.
Backstage brawl.
Could be.
Yeah.
So all in all, good match afterwards. Matt, super bloody.
Yeah,
kind of,
this was
kind of doing some broken mannerisms.
He's being a little broken. I like this. I thought it was good. Look, man, either he got the license or he didn't. I honestly feel that when he gets the IP, when he gets the broken thing, we're going to see it. We would see it post-match. They wouldn't wait until the next Raw. We would see it post-match.
Or we'd at least see the start of it.
I think he's just teasing. I think maybe he's thinking he can get this thing by SummerSlam. Maybe at SummerSlam they'll lose and we can see it then. Because that's a pretty big stage to break on.
Yeah.
Incident. Next up, we have Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss in what I thought was the best Alexa Bliss match that
we've probably ever seen.
It
was a really good match, and it's a bummer that it ended in a countout.
This was a big drag. I'm wondering if they're just gonna if we're gonna see the rematch on Raw, and that's what we're gonna see. That's where we're gonna see Nia Jax.
It could be. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened tonight on Raw. Really fast paced match. A lot of good back and forth.
Yeah, no, this was really good. This is where Alexa Bliss, you know, where she sort of puts on display what she's learned from being in the ring with people like Sasha Banks, with Bayley,
mm-hmm.
Because we saw a lot more crisp wrestling.
Yeah.
So we got a couple notes here.
She did the arm dislocation thing again.
Sasha got in the bank statement pretty early, but Bliss was able to get to the ropes pretty
quick. Yeah, yeah,
showing her ring awareness.
Yes, ring savvy.
Ring general.
They fight outside, and Alexa Bliss just finally said, enough, I'm getting counted out, keeping my belt.
Yeah.
Sasha was unhappy with that finish, obviously. Yeah. So she ran up the ramp after Alexa and attacks her at the top of the ramp.
Yeah.
They fight a bit, gets to the announce table. Sasha throws Alexa off the announce table and does a jumping double knee off and looks like busted her lip open.
Yeah, it looked like so.
So I think part of it, though, is you know, because there was just like carpet, like a bit of carpet
and
on
not,
the concrete.
Not the lush, fun wrestling shag carpet.
No, not sumptuous shag
this
carpet.
This is like crap office.
Like, yeah, industrial grade carpeting. So normally when Sasha does double knee, she lands on her knees.
Yeah.
Can't really do that on concrete.
No.
So when she landed, she had to fall back.
Yeah, she was kind of getting on her, like, trying to land on her feet a little bit, I think.
Yeah, kind of. So
it looks
like
it all looked bad.
Some knee hit Alexa's mouth, and then when they landed, Sasha landed right on top of Alexa. So.
Yeah. It looked pretty ugly.
Not the prettiest spot, but it got the point across.
Yeah. I mean, thank God it wasn't Charlotte. She would have done a moonsault onto the concrete. I'm not a huge fan. It's funny, like, how... The margin of error for hitting that double knee thing whenever she does it from the outside, it's terrifying to me because, man, you could, like, if your knee ends up on somebody's throat
or nose,
yeah, goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, but she hits it. I mean, she hits it good every time. So,
yeah, I know. I know. I just wonder if this time was different because
all you really have to do is shoot your crotch at somebody.
Pretty much.
You know, I guess, but man.
Maybe just because she had to execute it differently.
So two matches in a row we had.
Well, actually, technically Sasha won this match, so the heel didn't go over in this one. Sasha won by count out.
Yeah, but it was bunk.
Bunk. I'm not disagreeing with that, but the point that all the heels went over.
Next up, we had Akira Tozawa and Titus backstage. Tozawa was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't rewatch this. So, I got from their body language.
That Akira was very upset about how he lost the match, yes.
And Titus was trying to bring him down off that. So, we'll get... They should put on a clinic at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That should be fun. Or they'll put on a really good match at 205 Live. But I think
or
it's
both.
SummerSlam.
Or both.
Get
both.
There you go. Next up, we had Miz versus Dean Ambrose. This felt like every Miz versus Dean Ambrose match we've seen over the past...
Except this one had the Miztourage.
6 months.
And we were right. Miztourage made an impact.
They did what they were supposed to do.
Yep. Help Miz win.
Yeah. I did like, you know what, we don't get this every day. Dean Miz was working over Dean's left knee, and Dean was really selling the crap out of it. That was good.
Yeah.
That was something I haven't seen from Dean in a little while.
Yeah, no, that was good to see.
So that was good.
Yeah, there was that good spot where Miz put Dean in the tree of woe and did Daniel Bryan's corner drop kicks to his leg.
Are we going to see
that was cool.
Dean Miz again?
I certainly hope not.
SummerSlam? You know we're going to.
I really don't want that to happen.
I really don't want that to happen. I was surprised. No Drifter Finn segment.
I know.
We got that wrong in our
I'm guessing we're going to see that at SummerSlam.
Dude, no.
What else is Finn going to do?
Miz versus Finn.
Yeah, I would like to see that. They kind of have been low-key putting that up.
And then Dean Drifter.
We've already seen that, though. They had a match on Raw.
Yeah, that was one match, man. Come back around to it.
Okay. Well, anyway,
Drifter makes a drops a mixtape on Dean.
There you go. Anyways, Miz retains after. Well, I'll go back. Miz Taraj at one point pulls Dean out of the ring,
right.
And then Dean gets the upper hand, goes to top rope, drops an elbow on Miz and the Miz Taraj.
Mm-hmm.
Then he hits Dirty Deeds, but Maurice is there to put Miz's foot on the rope.
Ring general, ring awareness.
Things kind of break down.
Ring savvy.
Bo Dallas hits Dean from behind, which allows Miz to get the skull-crushing finale and win the match, retain his title.
Good job, Miz.
Good job, Miz.
Best Intercontinental Champion ever who isn't Chris Jericho.
Next, brought us to Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman.
Oh, man. This gives me a headache just thinking about the implications of the outcome of this match. I have a fucking headache just thinking about it.
Why?
I don't actually have a headache.
Why?
Is he a heel? Was this a double turn? What was the deal here? What was going on?
I don't think I'd bother thinking about that until we see what happens on Raw tonight.
Yeah, I know.
Reigns comes out as if he's normal Roman Reigns, and honestly, it wasn't a double turn.
Yeah.
I think it was they were just trying to create some intrigue one way or the other.
You know how I felt this was? I think, judging, okay, so really fun match. Like,
yeah.
There were shades of the last time they fought, but then I thought when Braun was no-selling the chair shots.
Oh, that was great.
Which, that's my one regret about the live stream. Anybody has a problem with me about that in the live stream? Because I totally missed it in the live stream, because I was paying attention to something else. So that's on me, and that's when I was like, oh, man, I missed that great bit. I need to be, you're right, I do need to get a better balance there. Because that was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
When Roman started, and the look on Roman's face. So at that point, it was, I think what they're trying to do, man, I think that they think that this is all Roman is still a face. Because I think it was Braun is horror movie villain, and Roman had to do what he had to do to beat the villain. That last shot of Braun, just mask of blood, and he's like obviously still not done with Roman.
Yeah.
To me, that was movie villain. That was horror movie villain.
But I can see
Braun
people
Roman.
Can see Braun's gumption as a face move.
I could see that.
Also, the fact
but
that...
But it's not how I feel.
Here's the thing. No, I know. I understand. I can understand both perspectives. Also, the fact that Roman did what he did after losing the match.
Yeah.
That's not exactly a face move.
That was the most cartoonish loss for an ambulance match. Because, especially when I play it back in my head, it's extra cartoonish. Because it's Roman going to spear Braun.
Braun gets out of the way.
And he flew in that ambulance.
Yeah, he did.
In a very cartoonish manner.
And someone in our chat for the live stream called that, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember who, but good call.
I mean, given that that's one of his signatures, then
yeah, it makes
total sense.
See, but I was confused by the end, again, because we didn't have the commentary on. Because I remember when they announced the match that
to win the match,
you had to put your opponent in the ambulance, and the ambulance had to drive away.
Oh, man.
The ambulance never drove away.
Close the door. That's all you got to do.
I'm just going by what they said.
They didn't say that, though.
Yes, they did.
Who said that?
When they announced the match, the Raw afterwards, and they announced the rules, that's what they said had to happen.
You got to find that.
Fine. Go ahead. Because that is what they said.
Because
that
I don't think it happened.
What they said. Who's the detail-oriented person between us? Me.
Yeah,
I listen to these
you
things.
You can get things wrong, too.
I didn't get this wrong.
You have gotten things
wrong.
Yeah,
I have. But that is what they said.
All right.
Nonetheless, you said the finish. Braun wins.
I think that, yeah, but there was a lot of good stuff beforehand. They crashed through the LED screen on stage, and they were doing the cheesy thing where, like, the video would cut out the static, and I'm like, no.
That's not how it
works. It'd be a blue screen with a no-signal, no signal received sign, which I think would have been equally effective. That's what people know when they're, you know, on the wrong HDMI input on their TV.
Yes.
Anyways.
So anyways, after the finish, Braun closes the doors. After Reigns misses the spear.
You were so hung up.
And so
he's not moving.
He hits the back of the
not
ambulance.
Not going anywhere.
Yeah, because that's what they said the rules were. Braun hits the back of the ambulance. Doesn't go anywhere. I'm upset because I'm unclear who won the match. Reigns opens the doors to the ambulance.
Again, hold on a second. This is another reason why we need to be why we need the earbuds, though. Because apparently JoJo did read the rules at the beginning of this match.
And she just said, you have to close the doors? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying this before they said the ambulance has to drive away. Reigns opens the doors and spears Braun, jumping out of the ambulance, puts Braun inside, yanks the driver out of the ambulance.
Very GTA. It was great.
Yeah, and Reigns, adopting his new gimmick as ambulance driver.
Yeah.
Drives the ambulance to the back, so he parks it in the loading dock area.
Yeah.
They do this shot where he's looking in the side mirror.
I'm so torn on this, man. What did you think about that shot?
Well, I mean, he was obviously thinking about what he was about to do.
Well, yes, it is very obvious.
And he's pondering the moral consequences.
I understand.
Potentially the professional consequences, but nonetheless, he did it. He put the ambulance in reverse, hit the gas, backed the ambulance up into a production truck, and... you know, knocked, took like a foot off the ambulance.
Oh, man.
With the impact.
It was a great, obviously, pre-film segment.
Yeah.
Look, man, I liked it. It was cheesy. I liked it. It was kind of hard for me to get into the cheesiness in the moment because it was so overdone.
See, but here's the thing. It was unclear, like, if Reigns had looked in the side mirror and did a little smile, yeah. Obvious heel.
Oh, it'd be even worse. Then
but
I'd
he
be,
didn't do that.
I'd be over the edge on that
He
one.
Didn't do that. He just looked... made the decision, did it.
You know what could have been cooler, and maybe I would have shit on it anyways, I don't know. If instead of that cheesy, like, looking himself in the mirror, if it was more frantic. I want more frantic. I want more drama. I want more tension. I don't want him, like, looking in the mirror. Because that's difficult to pull off if you're not, like, you know, if you don't have, like, a super thin depth of field, and it's all dramatic, and the lighting is good and stuff.
I know.
I want it to be more frantic. I want him to get in there.
In terms of visual storytelling, he's being reflective.
I want it to be a frenzy out of desperation.
Well, I think they did it that way to make you feel like it might have been somewhat premeditated.
Yeah, I know. What are the odds that tonight?
It wasn't strictly an act of passion.
Here's my thing.
It was a premeditated act.
And this is why I'm going to kind of reserve judgment, but I'm very pessimistic on it. What are the odds, Larson?
What?
This moment of him looking in the mirror should be transformative. It should alter the way he approaches life at this point, because he just made the decision, the calculated decision, to possibly murder a human being.
Well, to at least attempt to murder.
Exactly. So when he comes out tonight, there should be a different Roman Reigns
degree. Agreed.
What are the odds we're going to get that? And if you say anything over 15%, you're insane.
I was going to say, at best, a coin flip.
50-50?
At best.
You're insane if they're going to go over 15%.
Because here's the thing. I'm sure the plan is to do one thing. If Vince wakes up today with a completely different idea, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if I would love to think that this is a signifier of some direction for Roman Reigns.
I would hope so.
I would love to think that. I just think that we have no evidence that they have. There have been several signifiers in the past that we've gotten direction with Roman Reigns only for them to backtrack.
Yeah, there's been zero consistency.
There's been zero consistency. So until I see that, and I'll find out, and it's noon right now, I'll find out in probably 5 hours. Until I see that, I'm pessimistic, but we'll find out.
So Kurt Angle comes out, upset.
His eyes are wide the entire
time. Yeah, he actually sold this pretty well.
Yeah.
People are trying to... Jamie Noble comes out with a crowbar, trying to get the door of the ambulance open.
Yeah.
To check on Braun Strowman. And then there's this kind of awkward thing where Curt Hawkins and Heath Slater come out for a match, like an impromptu thing. Like, well, we can't show what's going on backstage, so let's put on a match to entertain the crowd while we're trying to find out what's going on inside the ambulance.
Yeah, in retrospect, I like this a lot better than when I was watching it.
Later. Oh, it's fine. It's a good idea. Yeah. I don't know.
Because they were doing this.
It's not believable at all.
No, it isn't, because they just move on to the next match anyways. Like, they have another match. It's called the main event.
Oh, I know. But I'm sure they didn't want this moment to overshadow the main event, and that's why they had this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's just, you know. I like the fact that they're adjusting their ring gear.
Yeah, as they're coming.
I know.
Out,
I think
like,
Keith Slater's taping
this is very impromptu.
Keith Slater's taping his wrist
this
up.
This is very impromptu. This is very impromptu.
So, but like the whole time this match was on TV, pretty much, it was in split screen. They were still showing what was going on backstage. Yeah. And about maybe halfway through this match, they just cut to backstage entirely because a firefighter showed up, jaws of life, trying to get that door open.
Yeah.
Apparently, Slater won the match, but off camera.
Right, right, right.
Eventually, they do get the door open. Braun's on the floor, bloody.
So much blood.
He crawls out.
Yeah.
Kind of stumbles to his feet, stumbles around backstage, gives that look to camera as to say, I'm not finished with you yet.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
I liked it. I liked it. Like I said, to me, it felt like... To me, it felt like a horror movie villain still stalking Roman Reigns.
I could see it the other way.
I could see it the other way as well.
I mean, if Randy Orton burning down a house was a face move, and I guess what Roman did last night could be a face move too.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way, but I guess if they want to try to present it as such, there's precedent.
Like you said, we saw a guy burn down a house. That was a face thing. There's no reason to believe this isn't a face thing. I think anything short of like Roman Reigns producing a gun would be a face thing. Anything short of that.
I don't know about that.
A gun, I think, would finally get him and land him in a heel territory.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. Do you think a gun could conceivably be face Roman Reigns?
Depends on the scenario.
Oh, interesting.
Took us to our main event, Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar. It was about 10 minutes. It was about 10 minutes till 8.
Yeah.
When when the introductions started.
It's about a 6-minute match and about 2 minutes of pre-match brawling.
Yeah. But it started off well because Joe attacked Brock while Paul Heyman was doing Brock's introduction.
Which I thought was great.
And then Joe puts Lesnar through the announce table on the outside all before the bell rings.
Yeah.
So we were already popping for Joe. Apparently Joe got a really good pop when he came out.
That's awesome.
Were you going to say something?
No, this is all really good. This was until the finish. Until the finish sucked the air out of me.
I wonder if some of the backstage stuff with Amos just took too long, so they cut time off this match.
Maybe. I mean, I guess. I mean, if that's the case, just lose a couple of the German suplexes and give us an extra F5. One more F5 could have done this for me. One more F5. But it was so... And so, yeah, there's... So, you know, Joe, dropped a... Urinagi on Lesnar through the announce table. Like, was that before the match started?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before the match started.
And Lesnar did a good job of selling it.
He did a great job of selling it. Lesnar seemed like he was into the match. Lesnar seemed like he was all in on selling Joe.
And apart from, I will say this, apart from Lesnar hitting 6 suplexes maybe, Joe dominated the match.
Right, exactly. Which was why it was odd that it took one F5 at the end of the match to put down Joe. That was my main beef with this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It came out of nowhere. There's no build to it.
He dominated. They lumbered in. That's the thing. It's not like an RKO where you can hit it out of nowhere. And Brock's F5, I honestly forget this. Last year's SummerSlam, how many F5s did Orton eat before he lost?
I think it was one on the outside and the one in the ring.
Okay, all right.
I could be wrong.
All right. I know the F5 is book strong, obviously. I just felt that it could have done a lot more for Joe.
Well, I think even one F5 still would have worked if there was a build to it.
Yeah, right, right, right.
The problem
is
the finish came out of absolutely nowhere.
And the F5 is not like an exciting move out of nowhere. And I feel like Cena's kicked out of a couple F5s.
Triple H did.
Of course Triple H did.
I'm pretty sure Roman did at WrestleMania.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So we've seen the F5, and I think Joe is a strong enough character to kick out of an F5.
Yeah.
Especially after dominating for a lot of this match. And yes, he ate a bunch of German suplexes, but we've seen other people eat a lot of German suplexes and kick out of at least one F5.
Yeah.
Give me one more F5.
It just wasn't believable that the amount of offense Joe had in this match versus the amount of offense Brock had, that after 6 German suplexes, that Joe could be beat by one F5.
Yeah, I know.
It didn't feel believable.
I know, exactly.
Especially when Brock is bright red from being put in the coquina clutch twice.
Yeah, he was on the verge of purplish.
Yeah.
I think he was purplish at one point.
He was. Because that was the finish, is that Joe put on the clutch.
Yeah.
And then Brock just picks him up, F5s him. Gets the pin. That's it.
Just, dude, it was, again, the air was taken out for me because
there was no build to the finish.
There was no build to the finish, and that was when I look back on Great Balls of Fire. And then for the people out there who said this is a fantastic pay-per-view, that's great. Awesome for you. I'm sincerely glad that you enjoyed it. For me, man, it was like watching several short films, and every single one I was really into, and then it just had crap finish.
Yeah, then the ending disappointed.
The ending just disappointed. And when you get that over and over again, I mean, you could even kind of say that Enzo versus Cass is the same, because Enzo came out with a great promo.
Yeah.
You know, I watched his promo this morning, and then thinking about it, I'm like, man, his thing is the promo. And I don't even know what they do with Enzo from here.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know, I'm assuming they're going to, I mean, is there any chance Enzo goes over at SummerSlam over Cass?
No.
You think they're going to fight at SummerSlam? They have to, right? They have to keep this going.
He did mention, Enzo alluded to Big Show during his promo last night.
You think we're going
to
get Big Show Cass at SummerSlam?
I would not be surprised.
I wonder if Big Show would be into that. Like, I'm sure he would be into fighting Cass, because Big Show has said that he wants to actually wrestle matches again.
Yeah.
And that would be an actual match.
Yeah.
I wonder if that'd be weird for Enzo to manage him, though. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with Enzo. Can't put him on 205 Live. He can't wrestle. He's not a good enough wrestler.
No, he's not.
So anyways.
I have an idea. I'm going to run by you of what I'd like to see. It's not going to happen at SummerSlam, but I'm going to pitch this to you.
You're going to pitch the four-way, aren't you?
No, I got something better.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So let's assume that what we got last night was a double turn.
Okay.
Reigns heel, Strowman face.
Wow. Okay.
Let's assume that's what's happening. So, Strowman Reigns, I would say right now, has to be in contention for Feud of the Year. It's been really good.
Yeah, it has been really good.
It's been really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, let's say tonight Reigns comes out and says, you know, he's still number one contender for Universal Championship. Braun comes out and goes, no, I beat you.
Yeah, sure.
That's my shot.
Yeah.
So
crowd's going to be behind that.
Yes, absolutely. So, whether they have another match tonight or Angle just says, Braun, you're number one contender, at the end of Raw, Braun's number one contender will face Brock at SummerSlam. Have Braun beat Brock at SummerSlam, win the title.
Okay.
Do it.
Yeah.
Next pay-per-view, have Roman say, I want a title shot. Have Braun beat him again.
Mm-hmm.
Decisively.
Yeah.
And then you can have Braun Roman again at WrestleMania. Have Roman win, but you have all that time. You have a good story you've been working on for almost a year.
Yeah.
More than a year by that point. That people will be into.
Yeah.
At least a lot more than Reigns and Lesnar would be.
Yeah, man.
Because everybody knows that the result of that match was going to happen,
yeah.
And no one really cares about it.
Yep.
Whereas people will be invested in Braun.
Yeah.
Do that match. That's your Universal title match, WrestleMania. Braun versus Roman.
I'd love it.
And make a huge star of Braun Strowman, too.
Yeah, man.
He's been doing really good work. He's
been
improving
doing good work.
Week after week, show after show, match after match.
I know, man. I know. And he applied that blood like a champ.
I know.
If it was him, they probably had a makeup person.
Yeah, it was really well done.
It was really well done. Like, they did it very
well. Also, it looked like he actually had, like, cuts on his arm.
I know. They did a good job with all that.
Yeah.
He looked great. He looked like
it. Looked very believable. It wasn't cartoonish at all.
I mean, you know, kind of interested to see what happens on Raw tonight. I'm never, like, totally optimistic, though. I think they...
I know.
They go to the status quo way too much.
And what's going to happen at SummerSlam is going to be Braun and Brock, and Braun's going to job out. Similar to how
one lumbering F5, although I doubt they would.
He'll hit Brock with the Power Slam. Brock will kick out.
Yeah.
There'll be an awkward reversal from Power Slam and F5. Braun loses.
Yeah. Probably, but we can always hope and dream.
Braun as Universal Champion would be fantastic.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be great. Why wouldn't they want to do that?
I don't know. Because Vince thinks Reigns Lesnar at WrestleMania is money.
Yeah.
That'd be like the least interesting match there. Because everybody knows what's going to happen. And even if everybody knows that Reigns is going to beat Strowman at WrestleMania, people are at least super invested, hopefully by that point, into Strowman.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. No, I agree with you. But, I don't know, we'll find out on Raw tonight.
Yeah.
See which direction they want to go in. It'd be cool if Reigns came out and was a bit more heelish.
Not just a bit more, completely heelish.
Completely heelish? Define, what would he have to do? He comes out tonight and does what? Darn it. He comes out and says, fuck everybody.
Essentially.
Pops the mic.
Effectively.
He says, fuck you, fuck Braun Strowman, fuck that ambulance. Fuck the truck that I drove into. I'm going to go eat a hot dog.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He has to come out there and essentially tell the crowd, you know, I've done this.
That'd be rad. Braun Strowman came out with caked blood like he didn't even wash
up. I know. And it's like, you guys never supported me ever. F you.
Yeah.
essentially what he has to do.
Yeah, it'd be good. I want to see, like, Braun just was why he walked to wherever they are tonight.
Oh, Houston?
Houston, Planet Houston. Braun flies in, like, non.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Caked over blood.
Yeah, I like that. Should keep the fake blood on him. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. That'd be a good visual.
Like he didn't stop. He didn't wash.
No.
He's just been sitting.
He got out of that ambulance and just started walking directly to Houston.
Exactly. And he
That's
made
good.
It.
Or he just got in his rental and he just drove there. And was just camping out at the arena until Roman got there.
Exactly. I like that idea.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Anyways. So at 3 hours, 3 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be live streaming WGPW, Shower Me With Gold. I'm not sure if it's going to be up by
then. Yeah, it might not be up by then.
Probably not going to be up by then. Anyways, until next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.